Welcome to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and joining me again today is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Great. And how have you been the last couple of weeks?
Pretty good. Awfully busy.
Good. Busy is always good, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, so Amity, why don't we get right into it, and please share with us some background information about yourself and what the Straight Spouse Network is.
Okie doke. I grew up years and years and years ago on the East Coast in Boston, outside of Boston and outside of Manhattan, and lived a pretty normal life. Plenty, was able to go to school and go to college and graduate school. But in graduate school, particularly, and also in sociology and psychology classes in college, I became aware of the complexity of life and realized I had grown up in a very homogeneous little test tube without any diversity. So when I took my first real job after the PhD, because I decided that I wouldn't make any money by writing, I better go to teaching, I arrived in Detroit on Labor Day. And there were all kinds of, this was back in the early 50s, there were all kinds of demonstrations. I had never heard of labor unions before. And I listened and I listened. I thought, my goodness, they're speaking the truth. This is terrible. So that started me working toward change, social and cultural change, economic, cultural, racial, whatever.
I was teaching high school.
Okay. And half my class were the kids of the owners of the auto shops around Detroit, and half the kids were the kids of the children of the workers. So I had this wonderful chance to be working with a completely different group of people. And we studied Shakespeare, and we took a play, and everyone took a role, whether it was costumes or music or speaking and so forth, and we would that's how we studied Shakespeare, everybody involved. And that led to my going out to San Francisco State University, where I was hired as an instructor. And from then it led to desegregating schools. And we had a project at the Department of Education there, which, oddly enough, I got through my work through the Junior League, because we had been working in the Western Addition part of San Francisco where all the blacks had come. And so I knew all about this diversity thing, and I thought, we were a precursor to Head Start. So at San Francisco State, I was head of a project funded by the state for desegregating schools.
Wow.
And I worked there, and then we had a three school district a place where teachers could come and do all kinds of exciting things so they could see what it was like to learn and then go back and do it in their classroom. So anyway, that's what's influenced my my life's path. And then my husband came out 30-some years ago, came out as gay.
Right.
And that...
was that like? That must have been...
Well, it was funny because the end of our being... We were together 20-some years, and those last few years, he became more and more and more distant, and that killed me. So that when I said, I can't live with a stone wall anymore, I said, I'm leaving. And he said, no, the husband always leaves. So he left. And then a year later, he came out. And his coming out answered all the questions of why he had become distant. Nevertheless, the shock of living someone else's lie, being his cover, that notion, even though that's not all of it, we'll get into it later, really devastating.
And you have children too, correct?
Yeah, we did. At that time one was still in high school, one had just started college.
And how did it affect them?
Well, they were younger. My daughter knew gay people. My son did, and they were still our children. He was still their dad. So they took it in stride.
Okay. And so as far as the Straight Spouse Network then, I mean, how did you overcome your feelings and take it to helping others that are going through something similar?
Well, one nice thing my gay husband did, he did a lot of nice things, but one of them was to go to a resource center and find out if there are any support groups for spouses of husbands who would come out, and he found one of them and led me to two others. So I was able to see that I was not the only one. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't blameworthy. And the more I found out, the more relaxed I got about it. I still didn't like the notion of being betrayed. But I thought, there are some other people doing this. Why don't I just write a book? And my work, my research and education had always been get people to say their full stories or do their whole thing, then analyze it for what are the common themes and the common issues and how do they get
Absolutely.
Through it. So I did that. And so I took 5 years to collect, I forget how many stories, but I ended up with a book called The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families. And so when one of the people I interviewed had started a task force for an organization called PFLAG, and the task force had some support groups here and there, and I said to myself, having worked with desegregating schools in a network kind of organization, I said, aha. I said, that's interesting. She said, why don't you take it over? So I took it over, changed it to a network of support, and the rest is history.
And so when exactly did the Straight Spouse Network actually start?
91. That's when the book came out.
1991.
The task force had support groups. Somebody else had a newsletter, so they both turned over their stuff to me. And so we kept growing and growing, so we have support groups. We have contacts for every state, particularly those without support groups, and online groups, because the Internet was just starting then. Suddenly we had online confidential groups and telephone calls and face-to-face groups. And so now it's worldwide.
That's right. That's incredible.
Now
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm gonna answer your next question.
So what's the mission then of this extraordinary network?
Okay, there's three things. One is the support for spouses and couples who are trying to work out an amicable conclusion of this this event, which is fraught with so much anger and hurt and stuff. And one is support. The second one is education. I continued my research writing bent and have examined all aspects of this coming out in marriage or disclosure in marriage. And so we try to educate spouses and couples and families and therapists and professionals so they'll understand this group, which I guess I'll get into later, which is completely ignored as more and more people come out, that they forget the people that get hurt by the coming out.
Absolutely.
And the third, besides support and education, the third mission is for us to work with other organizations to change social attitudes and behaviors and laws and so forth that restrict gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgender people from being who they are, working toward justice and equality.
That's incredible. And so how exactly would you say that you do the work with people, with both, as you mentioned, the therapist and psychologist and counselors and the individual that's going through it? How do you share this information? What do you guys do to get it out there to people?
Well, as far as the information, the education part of it, we have to rely on the website and blog radio like this and hope people will tune in and get it. I hope my research articles will help them get it. But the main thing that straight spouses need is someone who can say, oh, okay, that happened to me too. You're okay. Let's listen to your story.
Right.
So that support is the probably the key thing that we do. The other's necessary, but just to have somebody there who says, okay, let's hear your story.
Right. So it seems like having that relatable ear to just share this information
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the support groups, on the telephone, sure, we share things we read. I share my articles.
Mm-hmm.
People share their experiences. But the first step is, oh, you're not crazy. I'm not crazy. Here's a group of people who have been through it, and I'm not alone.
Right. And so for you, and I know you've had an enormous amount of experience with this, when this first happens to people, what are the most common questions that they are asking themselves, or what are they thinking? What are they doubting? What's going on with them there?
Well, there are about three that they first come up with. What was wrong with me that he became or she became gay? This can't be true. Why did he hide it? Why did she hide it?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? I've lost the center of my life. What do I do? So one woman, when she called me, she said, you know, for about 3 days I've been lying in my bed in a fetal position. I could not get out of bed. This was such a shock, such
mm-hmm.
a disbelief that there's just the shock, just the utter,
right.
utter shock.
And I'm sure this, you know, as we discussed in last episode too, that it must do some serious damage to self-image.
Oh my gosh, yes. You think, what did I do to cause this? I'm to blame. A lot of self-blaming. I should have been sexier. I should have done this. I should have figured it out. Why didn't he trust me to tell me? Oh yes,
right.
lots of self-blame.
And now, is this something that you went through? Did you go through the entire process that you found in your research that most people have actually gone through?
Yeah. There were so many unanswered questions. By the time he came out, his coming out answered all those questions.
Right. That was almost enough for you to really understand.
Not enough. No, 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 no.
Okay.
That was relief. That was relief. But the accusations along the way that I was frigid, for example,
mm-hmm.
before he came out, I was
right.
frigid. My fault. So all that, you can't get rid of that, all that accusations right away.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of just, well, where am I? This isn't what I thought I was living for 25 years. I went to France thinking maybe if I go back to where he and I were before our son was born, maybe that would kind of regenerate this. And I think I told you in one of the last programs what I did was I would test myself. I wasn't suicidal, but I wanted to test mm-hmm. myself and prove that I was strong. So I climbed from in Nice from the lowest part all the way up the Grand Caniche, way up top, 90-degree heat, 90-degree humidity.
Wow.
Just to prove, okay, you're all right.
Sure. And I'm sure for you, this was all part of just getting through it and getting over it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we, a lot of spouses, they will just throw themselves. One guy, I think I mentioned before, threw himself into Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And just became a Buddhist. And another one took up running and would run in every Ironman thing he could find, just to run and run and run and run. Another one turned
right.
to music again. And some way to lose themselves and find themselves at the same time.
Absolutely. And for all those just joining us, I'm here with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. And we're covering some fantastic topics in here. And today we want to focus on one of the singular issues that's faced by the straight spouse, particularly betrayal. So, Amity, tell us about how or what exactly this betrayal can do to the straight spouse.
Okay, maybe I should read something from both, let's see. I think this guy, this is a story by a Latino, the wife of a Latino couple, and they tried to make it work, and they tried to do things together, and they went out to dinner, and he slept all the way home. When we arrived home, he asked, "Are you disappointed?" "Well, yes. I know money's tight, but I didn't get a present or a card for you, and today was my birthday." Suddenly, he screamed, "What more do you want from me? I didn't have time to buy you a car. I didn't have time to go to the bathroom all week." And he stormed out of the house. I was furious. Then a few nights later, while I was resting on my bed listening to classical music, it suddenly became clear. Why am I giving up my whole life for this marriage? What do I get out of it? Give me crumbs and I'll stick around? I can't even have sex with anyone else. I can't be an unfaithful wife. Then my thought switched. Wait, Miguel's the one who's unfaithful. You don't even have a marriage you morally agree with, Caitlin. It's not based on faith and trust. Your image of right and wrong is screwed up. What Miguel is doing is wrong. Therefore, this marriage can't last. There was nothing more to do. It had taken 2.5 years of trying to make the marriage work for me to see that it was over. I'd wanted my fantasy to come true so much, I'd compromised who I was and what I believed to make it real. Now I could finally let it go and deal with reality.
Wow. So with this reading now, this is 2.5 years that this person spent trying to fix
right.
the situation.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I know this may be a tough question for your answer, but, you know, is there a particular time that, you know, or even a moment or a signal that gives it away that says, hey, look, this is what's going on, or this is not right? Is there any sort of...
I just gave you one, and for everybody it's different. For her,
right.
I was listening, just talking to herself out loud.
Sure.
And you just don't know. You just don't know. But the point is, just begin to trust yourself enough so that your insight can be trusted.
Right.
And it's the loss of trust of yourself and other people that's the biggest damage done by this betrayal. And mind you, the gay and lesbian and bisexual transgender person that got married, they weren't deliberately deceiving. The point wasn't to deceive their wives. The point was to, I want to make this work, or I won't be accepted if I don't. But still, the person on the other side of this closet feels betrayed because their trust was betrayed.
Of course. And for your own experience, did you have that feeling of betrayal?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. You know, how could you have said, looking back, it took a long, long time. Yeah, of course. And I tried to actually, what I did to try, I got the marriage annulled as a Catholic so I could marry again. And I did it on the basis of error of person. The church chose, that's another story, tribunal chose otherwise, but I did it on error of person. He presented someone he wasn't.
Right.
But he didn't, they don't do it hurt to be hurt, but the point is that I really want to get across to everybody who's listening and ethics, we are hurt. We are the unintended victims of the victims of homophobia.
Right. So why don't people face the truth? You know, I mean, if there are these little signals and signs, what do you think it is that keeps people back from confronting their spouse about questions that they may have, like about sexuality?
There aren't any signs that are different from signs in a bad marriage, unless they're deliberate things like discover, you know, they come home for late for dinner. It could be anything. They could, you
right.
know. They could have stopped for a drink and they could have gone out with their secretary or whatever. But but if you come across on the internet, you find your husband's has left the internet open, and you see there's a thing there with lots of connections to gay sites
right.
and so forth. Of course you don't, but you don't interpret it that way if he's not attracted to you by more frilly lingerie.
Right.
It could be
Absolutely.
Any. It could be any reason. You don't think of that as a reason. I think more and more people may be, as more people come out, but that is the first thing that friends will say. How come you didn't know?
Right.
That makes us feel great. That makes us really feel great.
I sense the sarcasm in that.
Yeah.
And so, Amity, let's talk about moral compass. What's the effect on the straight spouse's moral compass at this point after their spouse comes out to them?
Well, if they didn't know the truth themselves, if they weren't able to fathom what was right and wrong because they were blindsided
mm-hmm.
or blinded, what's wrong with it? So they don't trust their own judgment anymore. If I couldn't tell that my dear wife or my dear husband was gay, I guess I can't tell anything. You just think, I just don't know right from wrong anymore. Was I
sure?
All kinds of questions.
Sure, and again, I think it falls back into that the idea of, you know, the loss of this self-image and, you know, questioning your own sexuality and what you're doing wrong with, you know, your emotions and your affection towards the other.
Well, not so. Yeah, that's true too. The two of them dovetail, but this is
mm-hmm.
more. Let me give you some examples of these. Are this in my first book, The Other Side of the Closet? There,
sure.
I have stories, but I also have a lot of description of what happens with research and stuff. And so, what to reverse the negative effects of deception? First, you have to sort out the truth and the lies. Because the marriage has a lot of good parts. You have to sort out the good and say, okay, and the lies. Then you have to assess the power of the lie. How this lie governed your life. You kept working and working and working and working when there was no hope of success, but you didn't know it. That's what starts out the anger. And I think the anger, which runs through all the spouses, the anger at betrayal is one of the hardest to get rid of. There's a great book by Robert Ellis about anger is usually frustration or disappointment or annoyance or irritation at something you thought should be but wasn't. Now that you know the truth, you can redirect that power of the anger to doing something constructive like, as I was saying, going out and finding music, running, writing in a journal, but start using the power of anger constructively. And then finally, if you can start to understand both sides of the closet, your husband or wife did it for their own self-preservation, not to hurt you.
Right.
And then start building trust in yourself. And start sharing the secret. Most people don't want to betray their husbands, you see. You get in the closet with them. So you
mm-hmm.
too. You too are living a lie. Really strange.
That's an interesting way of putting it, though. It's true. I mean, you know, the way that you try kind of keep yourself in a darkness on the whole thing, it's
mm-hmm.
you are living, you're definitely
mm-hmm.
living, you know, this false life that you, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why my second book is called Unseen, Unheard, because we're in the closet
mm-hmm.
to protect our husbands and our kids. And therefore no one hears about it and they'll say, well, you know, it's what I just said. How come you didn't know? Or, oh,
sure.
Get on with your life. I've had people say, well, he's gay, fine. You get on with your life. Excuse me, my life is in shatters. It's like the mirror of your past is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Shattered.
Absolutely. And so from your first book, The Other Side of the Closet, to Unseen and Unheard, what are the differences between the two books? What can people take away from each one?
Okay. Well, that takeaway from the other side of the closet are the general issues with illustrative stories and then my explanation with references to how it works. It's good for, the stories are good for straight spouses. The explanations are good too, but maybe more so for professionals and clergy and people. The other book, instead of being focused on the issues, is focusing on the coping journey, the stages of coping from the first shock, traumatic, hurt, anger, blowing up, falling apart, all the way through the steps to the final transformation. So that's good for spouses trying to find themselves. You know, they say,
right.
"Ooh, am I in first cries? I mean, my first cries, or am I?" These, you know, they can just see. And these, the second book, rather than personal stories, are emails I've collected over 5 years, and excerpts from stories people have written, illustrating these coping things, so that anyone picking up the book can, in this stage, can say, "Oh, that's the way I feel. Oh, I'm not alone."
And both books are available at Amazon.com, correct?
Yep, or their local bookstore, but the same thing.
Great. Are they available through the Straight Spouse Network, too?
No, I wish they were. We don't have that capability yet. But, I mean, you can go. But order them from Amazon, from our website, and we get a little bit of a percentage. That's wonderful.
That's great. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
I should mention, too, that the Straight Spouse Network is a non-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm. And it's www.straightspouse.org.
That's right. And again, I mean, I as we've been doing these shows, I've been on the website there, and there's so many different incredible resources for people to really take so much great information with, and you know, it's incredible how the power of this organization that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let me ask you this: while we're discussing, and we're going to keep having you on, we have I believe about 7 more episodes over the course of the next 3 months. So, plenty of information is going to get shared on this show, and I'm looking forward to it very much. But if let me ask you, what type of things you are hoping to expand upon or achieve with the organization? Is there anything in particular that you're looking to do?
Well, we want to keep the famous word used everywhere this day is sustainability.
Sure.
And we need to keep sustained. We need funds to keep our support. Staff is sort of dwindled because of lack of money. This is not a hot topic, you know. This is not leukemia or cancer or something.
Right.
So we want to keep our support coordination going. We want to get newsletters out. We want to get more people, more spouses and couples supported, and we've got to have more people understand this, and maybe people might change their minds about gays and lesbians when they realize how, if they're forced into a marriage with the opposite gender, this is going to be broken families and hurt feelings.
And I think that's a big part of the problem, is the ignorance of the situation in front of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not their fault. It's just not headline news. I mean, the big news, like Bruce Jenner coming out, that was the big news.
Mm-hmm.
How his wife felt about it is irrelevant to the. It's not newsy.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think it's wonderful that you're able to chat with me about this.
And again, it's a topic that, you know, needs to be discussed, because it's another way of families falling apart. It's a
mm-hmm.
way that nobody likes to discuss, but it's there,
mm-hmm.
and you do need to talk about it. And clearly,
mm-hmm.
it's something that people need to know about, and they need to know how to get over it and how to overcome it, because
mm-hmm.
it's something that we deal with. But, Amity, I do have
mm-hmm.
to say, unfortunately, time is running out, and I do want to thank you for coming on this week. And I thank you again, and we look forward to having you on in 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, from everybody at CMC Radio, this is your host, Rob May, saying see you soon. Bye-bye.